Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 1. And then that day thou shalt say, Jehovah, I will praise thee, for though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou hast comforted me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Jehovah is my strength and soul, and he has become my salvation. And withdrawing shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And then in the first epistle of Peter, first epistle of Peter in chapter 1, verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from among the dead, to an uncorruptible, an undefiled, an unfading inheritance, reserved in the heavens for you, who are kept guarded by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I'm just struck when thinking about, really, the hope of our salvation. Thinking of what God offers to us, and what he would encourage us with at all times. And I'd just like to share with you some of these thoughts that we see in the scriptures. And firstly, starting in Isaiah, we can see an example from before, when God was working with the children of Israel. And in them we can see, in some ways, the story of us. And I didn't read in the chapters before this, but Isaiah goes through some prophetic talking about what would be with the children of Israel, just looking ahead from his perspective. And we can see in that a pattern of distance from God and recovery. And we can see how God loves his people. We can see how he says he will bring them back. There will be a way made forward for the remnant. And of course we get those lovely scriptures about Emmanuel, and unto us shall a son be given. God's pointing the way to what he will ultimately do. For it's always been in his mind to bless his people. Always been in his mind to bless us too. It's always been in his mind. He's known what would going to be. Known what would be the ultimate way of salvation. But at this point, there are just hints of what will come. And I didn't read through the ups and downs of the previous chapters. But we can see here in the conclusion the same message that God gives to us now, that he would give to his people then. He says, I know you're weak. I know you stray. I know that you are not exactly the way that you should be to be in my presence. But here it says, For thou wast angry with me, thine anger was turned away, and thou hast comforted me. We see how God would like to be with each one of us. How we should be in his presence. And just think, God wants all of us to be in his presence. The story of the incoming of sin in the very start of the Bible, prefigured by God giving man the very best, showing what was in his mind even then. And then we see how our own weakness worked out through Adam and Eve then, but of course we're no different. Worked out through the children of Israel, but again we're no different. We are all failing, stumbling creatures. We don't measure up to God, but God shows his heart of love to us. The remarkable thing that, and I'll be coming on to the full source of salvation, but the wonderful thing is we have this hope that we can take hold of the blessings that God would love to give us. The blessings that we are not deserving of. The blessings that we are incapable of grasping. But yet he makes us capable of it. That's the wonder of the gospel. And we can see here, those in this day can say, Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Jehovah is my strength and soul. He has become my salvation. We can see, if only in a little bit at this point, how God would come so close. Of how we can say, God is my salvation. Taking me out of what I was. Taking me out of my own inability to please him. heart of God towards us. And then talks about the wells of salvation. There is something freely given from God. Something that anyone can take account of. Anyone can get into the good of. And this is then brought to life even more as we go into Peter, and we can see how now looking, Peter has a perspective looking back. Not everything was revealed to Isaiah looking forwards. But Peter, when we're in the epistle, now of course, he's here speaking to believers, or those who are in the company of believers, to remind them of the great blessings that they have been given. And this is something which should both stir our hearts up to remember how we have been saved, or indeed if we don't know for this fully for ourselves, as in the hymn, it was talking about we need to make it our own. This can be something that we can take account of to see what God has done, and just challenge ourselves, do I really understand what it is to be right with God, to know this blessing, to be thrilled by this thought that we have been begotten again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from among the dead, that we can understand what this incorruptible and undefiled and unfading inheritance is, and be confident that it's reserved in the heavens for us, that we can be comfortable, that we can come into so great blessings, and that we are not burdened by our load of sin, that for our unworthiness before God, how we cannot attain to God's standard. We are not uncomfortable to come into God's presence. We just each have to be aware of that ourselves, because I can't answer that for you. Each of you has to answer it. But we should all be thrilled by this rather than scared by it. For that is the blessing of the gospel. If we have just accepted it, if we've trusted the Lord Jesus in his blood, then we're friends there. We're brought in so close, closer than friends. It talks of brothers. It talks of sons before him. Brings us into the very closeness of relationship with God. Something God was looking at from the very beginning. He wanted that closeness of communion with mankind. He came to visit them in the garden in the cool of the day. But then there couldn't be any communion. But now, through the work of the Lord Jesus, there can be. And God desires that. What he's always desired from the very beginning. And through all this time, through all this history, it's served to bring out to us a real living view of what God wants for us. Just think, in the very beginning, God's heart of love wasn't fully shown. Man couldn't really appreciate quite how God loved him. But we've seen how far God has gone. And we can now see how much he loves us. And that should just stir our hearts to return that to him. And we can see, according to his great mercy, mercy means that he is not condemning us in the way that we should be condemned. He is not putting our own punishments upon our heads. For as we get to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if we trusted in Jesus, he has taken our sins completely away. Justified as if I'd never sinned. Justified so that I can stand before God, because I know that I have no sin on me. Even though I'm failing and weak, because the Lord Jesus has done everything for me and for you. The only thing we need to do is accept him. As saying before, it's a free offer. The only thing required of us is to accept him. The only thing required of us is to turn to the Lord Jesus and just appreciate what he has done for us and accept the work that he has done for us. So there has to be death brought in here. Have to be reminded that this was one of the consequences of our sin going away, that the perfect one had to die in our place. But he's that brings in this great thought here. Yes, there is death. Yes, there had to be, so that our sins could go away. But there is also life, resurrection. It talks of the Lord Jesus as resurrection from among the dead. It's also a reminder that he is now living in heaven for us, that we can just turn to him at any moment. When he was down here, when he was walking among the children of Israel, when he was proclaiming his message, he had taken upon himself human form. He had physical limitations. He could be in one place at one time. But now he is risen and in heaven. He is available to everyone at any time. And this is something that we can look for and appreciate and rejoice in as we can see how God has fully succeeded in everything that was in his heart. How he would bring us to him if we will only accept Jesus. And how he will bless us. So, Peter could talk about these great things that he appreciated and he hoped that those he was writing to appreciate. And so, we should all be appreciating as we can see how once we have accepted Jesus, there is so much that's opened up to us. And we can see the very great thoughts of God. And then we could look on to the last time. And for the Christian, the last time, whether we are left here until God rolls things up, or whether we're taken to be with him earlier, that last time should be a time of rejoicing, when we're united with the Lord Jesus, and united with God, and we're in his presence, that blessed home above, that we have recorded for us in the Gospels, where it says we have the promise of a home with God our Father. And it should not be a time of doubt or of worry. Like we have, for example, the Great White Throne and other things written up in Scripture where there will be judgment. None of that will happen to the Christian. Preserved from all of this and brought into these uncorruptible and undefiled and unfading inheritance already reserved for us. So, I would just ask you, how comfortable are you in this promise that's been given to us? Now I hope we're all trusting in what the Lord Jesus has done. We have made it our own. If you haven't, of course, now is the time. And although you may have heard that now is the time for us, so many, many years, the thing is we can never be certain. Isaiah looking forwards, he didn't have a complete certainty of when these things would happen. We, looking forward, have even less certainty, because we don't know exactly when God will call all things together, and then the opportunity will cease. So the message of the gospel is now, and the message of the gospel is individual. We all have our relationship with the Lord Jesus. And may we all just be freshly encouraged by considering this, the great blessings that God has for us. And the Lord Jesus, whom we know personally, and have all our blessings in. May we just know what it is to be rejoicing in those, and looking for his coming, and rejoicing to know that we're not scared to go before God, for there is no judgment for those in Christ Jesus, cleansed by his precious blood. May we all know that for his name.